Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Changes to this market are coming, and I believe very quickly. March and April are the time frame where I believe you will see a breakdown of the stock market, and that includes the handful of worshipped AI stocks that have veiled the malaise that lies underneath the market in most stocks. For example, just 10 stocks make up 34% of the entire S&P 500 value. So 490 stocks make up the remaining 66%. Whenever the top 10 stocks have comprised more than a third of the index, it has ended in disaster. Remember the dot-com bubble in 2000 and the Nifty 50 during the 70s? They both ended in absolute debacles for the market. And no, this time is not going to be different. The catalyst for the next correction should be derived from the negative liquidity impulse coming about a month from now. Banks are already tightening lending standards, and the inflation-strangled consumer is increasingly defaulting on loans that were undertaken post-COVID. The reverse repo facility will run out of gas in April, and the Bank Term Funding Program, which bailed out the entire financial system a year ago, expires on March 11th. Banks will then be forced to take their distressed assets back onto their balance sheets at far below par value, and then must pay back to the Fed the full value of these assets, plus pay interest on the loan. The Fed's quantitative tightening program will then begin to affect the liquidity in the banking system. Up until now, it has been neutralized by the reverse repo facility. And then the availability of credit to purchase bonds and stocks goes away. The January 2024 Senior Loan Officer Opinion Survey on Bank Lending Practices, also known as the SLOOS Survey, addressed changes in the standards of terms on and demand for bank loans to businesses and households over the past 3 months. This is what the report had to say. Regarding loans to businesses, survey respondents on balance reported tighter lending standards and weaker demand for commercial and industrial loans to firms of all sizes over the fourth quarter of last year. Furthermore, banks reported tightening standards and weaker demand for all commercial real estate loan categories. For loans to households, banks on balance reported that lending standards tightened across all categories of residential real estate loans, other than government residential mortgages and government-sponsored enterprises, GSEs, for which standards remain basically unchanged. Meanwhile, demand weakened across all residential real estate loan categories. In addition, banks reported tightening standards and weaker demand for home equity loans of credit. Moreover, for credit cards, autos, and consumer loans, standards reportedly tightened and demand weakened on balance. That is what I meant when I said that bank lending standards have been tightening. And that means less money supply growth and less credit available to private sector of the economy. According to the very astute hedge fund manager, John Hussman, he says this, quote, based on dozens of measures that include valuations, internals, overextension syndromes, and numerous technical, fundamental, and cyclical gauges that have been developed over a long time, he estimates that current market conditions now cluster among the worst 0.1% instances in history, more similar to major market peaks. He calls this the cluster of woes because the handful of similar extreme instances, most notably in 1972, 1987, 1998, 2000, 2018, 2020, and 2022, were typically followed by abrupt market losses of anywhere between 10 and 30% over the next 6 to 10 weeks. The average decline was 12.5%, with losses at the smaller end of that range often seeing deeper follow-through later. Okay, so I'm not alone in my caution here. The greatest investors in history, some of them, are on my side. Turning to inflation, it certainly is not dead, and it is neither buried yet. Consumer price inflation in the United States is just nowhere near the Fed's target, and this is a full 4 years after the outbreak of COVID and the $6 trillion worth of helicopter money that led to the hottest inflation the country has ever seen. Year over year, inflation was up 3.1% in January. The core rate of inflation increased by 3.9%. Shelter was up 6% year over year. Going to the hospital was up 7%. Your car insurance bill was up 21%. Eating eggs for breakfast surged by 47%. And if you wanted a glass of orange juice with those eggs, it will cost you an additional 29%. This inflation is hollowing out the very center of Americans. This is salt on the wound for those people who simply cannot afford the current cost of living, much less one that is slipping further and further out of grasp at the rate that is over 50% above the Fed's asinine 2% target. I mean, this is why the Fed is an awful cabal. They destroy the living standards of Americans under the guise of helping the poor, when in fact they actually exist to bail out banks. That's what they're there for. Don't believe anything else. The Fed is going to have to cut rates substantially and quickly in the next 2 years to avoid the refinancing of corporate and mortgage debt at much higher interest rates. However, it cannot do so because inflation is still far above where they want it to be. And even more importantly, because the sting of record high inflation is fresh in the minds of consumers and businesses. In the next crisis, the government may indeed very well respond in a similar fashion. You know, I have people tell me all the time, well, you know, if there's a crisis in the country, the Fed will just print it all away like they did in the past. They'll go back to QE, ZERP, zero interest rate policies. They'll launch another TARP and a TALF and a BTFP, checks in the mail by printing helicopter money. They'll do all that. Sure, maybe they'll try that. I doubt they're going to be doing it quickly, but I'm sure they'll try something like that. However, the next fight with inflation should have a much longer duration and intensity than ever before imagined in this country. Meaning, if you cut rates during deflation, which has been the case for the past 40 years, it tends to work well. But lowering the Fed funds rate and doing all those things I just talked about during inflation, times of inflation, causes long-term yields to rise rather than to fall as they usually do, thus providing no relief from borrowing costs. And that's the healing mechanism of the government. They come in and they buy a bunch of bonds and they lower the yield, raising the price, lowering the yield, and that's a salve. That's the healing mechanism. That's how they provide the economy to heal. But if you're in an inflationary environment, printing up a bunch of money to buy bonds, guess what? The long end of the yield curve, which is only interested in two things, supply and inflation. The supply is going to go through the roof, thus bringing prices down, yields higher, and inflation, which is going to bring the same consequence. So there'll be no relief from borrowing costs that are pegged to longer duration bond yields, so the economy isn't going to heal as easily as it has done in the past because borrowing costs are going to go in the wrong direction. Now the bell, switching gears, the bell may have been rung already on the AI bubble. AI, as Dan Ives would say. To be clear, I don't think AI is a fad that needs to be faded. I think it's just as real as the internet was in 2000. However, I do think the valuation of AI stocks is ridiculous and bears a sharp resemblance to the tech bubble burst in 2000. I mean, the internet was indeed a bona fide investment to be made in the long run. However, that didn't stop the bellwether stocks like Cisco from losing 80% of their value from March of 2000 to the summer of 2002. And I'm looking to invest more in the AI sector, but only after this current bubble bursts. We have a very small piece of Broadcom in one of our low beta ETFs, very small, not much at all. But I would love to invest in AI at a same price, like the prices that were offered for the internet stocks in 2002, not in March of 2000, and then lose almost all your money. I mean, I just don't buy stocks that trade at 650 times earnings because we have a mandate here. I put the mandate on principal protection. Do I want to participate in bull markets? Absolutely. Have I done so in the past? Many, many times, but not when it's this dangerous and certainly not in the 650 times earnings category. I have friends in this industry who own investment companies who are getting calls from retired people who are now asking them to sell everything and own a portfolio that consists of 100%, not AI stocks, one stock, NVIDIA. 100%. Sell everything. This is not a made up story. Sell everything, buy NVIDIA. That's the bell that you should be hearing go ding dong. We're not going to do that. We are far too smart and have seen this before. Instead, we will remain cautiously long, net long, yes, cautiously, until the liquidity fire hose is turned off in March and in April timeframe. Gold should do well. Low volatility stocks and bonds should not only outperform the market during this time, but should provide significant upside appreciation. And if the liquidity crisis intensifies to the point where the credit markets freeze, shorts will be added to the mix. I want to make a quick comment on gold. I think I'm a pretty good trader with gold. I'm not perfect, but I've served to underweight the miners for years. And we only have a very small section of the portfolio in the miners right now, and for good reason. Uninformed investors believe gold is an inflation hedge. It is not an inflation hedge. It is a hedge against falling nominal and real interest rates, and that sometimes happens when there's inflation. Now, what happened this week, the hot CPI data that was announced yesterday sent bond yields surging, nominal bond yields surging, and real yields surging. Hence, gold fell 1.4% on the day, which is a massive move for a currency, for real money, because that's what it is, gold. And the miners dropped 5%, over 5%. Now, gold should have a sharp move to the upside, but we will need to see the trend of economic data decline first. That's when Wall Street will chase gold to the moon and the gold stocks. But they're going to have to see some kind of cracks in the labor market. I'm waiting for that before I get really long the miners. I'm just waiting for it patiently. I'm not going to tell the market when I think it should happen. And I only think we're a few weeks away from that. I believe the next move on rates will be down due to a slumping economy. If the banks are not lending because they are capital constrained and their asset values are impaired, if the Fed is not able to cut rates because inflation is hanging stubbornly above 2%, if the real Fed funds rate is in restrictive territory, if quantitative tightening begins to rapidly drain banks' reserves, if the reverse repo facility is out of gas, and if the bank bailout program is scrapped, then the fuel behind asset bubbles becomes abruptly shut off. This should serve to sharply curtail economic growth by Q2 of this year. The truth is, bonds have been crushed over the past 2 years, and the average stock has gone nowhere. Nevertheless, the total market cap of equities as a percentage of the economy is near one of the highest levels in history and 1.5 times greater than it was prior to the 1929 stock market crash and start of the Great Depression. The equal weight S&P 500 is down on the year and down since late 2021. This index includes the AI Magnificent Seven stocks, but just does not overweight their presence. So we can chase NVIDIA here or remain patient and wait for the opportunity to short this bubble, which is what I'm going to do. We will use the inflation, deflation, and economic cycle model to front run the economic data, which should soon slow sharply. And we are positioned for that outcome right now.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.